Good morning. It is Party Line on this Thursday. Shan Sheridan with you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Glad to be with you. Appreciate you bringing us on your ride, or maybe you're in the kitchen, living room, whatever the case may be. Maybe you're listening to us or watching us online, HoosierLandTV.com. We certainly appreciate being a part of your daily schedule here on Party Line. Well, today, scattered showers, mainly between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., and then high near 77. So much cooler temperatures today. Back on the football field tonight. We had a night off so last night, so we'll be back on the football, so it'll be kind of nice. Maybe a little moist, but we'll be back. And then, of course, varsity playing tomorrow night. A lot of football action, Friday night football going on. Got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking to Stephen Deckard in just a little bit. He's the Clinton County EMS director. And we're also going to be talking to the new Carroll County Chamber of Commerce director, Callan Smith. And we'll be talking with her in a little bit, top of the hour. But right now, joining me via telephone, Beth Hardebeck. Beth, good morning.
Good morning, Chan.
How are you this morning? Clinton County Democratic Chair, and it is, can you believe it's September? I mean, it's already September. It's always, I mean, it's like the middle of September. It's hard to believe.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. The time flies when you're having fun, right?
So, yes. So we try to have fun every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, it's good seeing you this week. So, good to have you here this this morning. You guys got a big, this is your annual fundraiser. It's the Big Dim Barbecue. That's coming up this Saturday, September 12th. Tell us more about that.
Yes, Saturday, September 12th. We're going to have a special guest speaker, the state level candidate. Jessica Bailey is running for state comptroller of Indiana, formerly known as the state auditor. And here they tag the comptroller, but it's the same position. And so we're excited to meet her, to see her at state convention, but I haven't really met her yet. So she'll arrive about 5:30, but we're going 4 to 7 Saturday afternoon. We'll have Big Country barbecue, hot dogs, baked beans, ham and cheese, and desserts galore. Some salads and fruit, we hope. And what we hope for most is a lot of community members who will come out and join us and listen to our special speaker from the state, and then our more local candidates will have a chance to speak to the people who come out.
Yeah, that was my next question. So you will have local candidates available there for folks to meet as well?
Yes, we will.
Okay, and who are the, what is the lineup of candidates this year on the Democratic side?
So we have Jackson Hayes running for Indiana Representative in District 41, and part of Clinton County is under District 38, and we have Nate Stout running for that position. And then we have two county council candidates who are slated to speak, Lewis Wheeler for District 3, I believe, and Deborah Pearson is running for District 2 County Council.
So those folks will be there for folks to meet on Saturday.
Yes.
Okay, great. Yes. And when, now give us more details on Saturday. Is it a ticketed event? What time? And is it just a free for all to show up?
It's 4 to 7. It is a free-for-all for all to show up, but we always have out a donation jar.
Okay.
We don't ticket it. We don't ask for a particular amount, just what you can do.
All right. And that's coming up again this Saturday. A lot of stuff going on. Of course, September's a busy month for Indiana, especially Clinton County. There's a lot of things happening. But 4 to 7 at the Mulberry Park there at the new event center. I say new because the pavilion, they redid it a couple of years ago, and it's beautiful. We've had the ice cream socials out there. It's been very nice. November is vastly approaching, but I'm sure there's one thing you want to make sure that everybody knows, that they need to register to vote, correct?
Yes, and they can have the opportunity to get registered to vote. If they're not right there, we can get online and help you get that figured out. And then that same website, IndianaVoters.com, I believe it is. Maybe it's IndianaVoters.org, but or it's .gov, I'm sorry. IndianaVoters.gov. You can register, and then you can go back to that site and check on your registration later.
Okay, so you can register at IndianaVoters.gov.
.gov.
And you're going to be there helping folks. If they want to register there at your event, they can do that.
Yes, we will, and have sign-up on opportunities for volunteerism if people feel like they want to volunteer with us.
All right, and voter registration is that certainly you got to be registered to vote, but October 5th is the deadline. Yeah,
yes,
it's the deadline, and then early voting begins October 6th.
Yes, you have it right.
Okay.
You have it right.
Well, I'm glad to get that verified. So October 6th is early voting, and then right before that, the day before is the deadline for you to register. So make sure that you get registered. So and then you've got your speakers lined up, and you can meet the local candidates and state candidates coming up this Saturday at the annual Big Dim Barbecue. It's coming up Saturday, September 12th, 4 to 7 p.m. at the Mulberry Pavilion. Beth, anything else you want the good folks to know?
I want to know everyone's welcome.
Everyone's welcome. Everybody's...
If you want to hear our speakers, Democrat, Republican, Independent, come on out.
All right, so open that.
We'll feed you well.
Believe me, with Clarence cooking, you're always going to eat well. I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's right.
Clarence always got a good pot of gumbo or a good turkey leg or something, so he's got some good stuff. So, well, Beth, thank you very much. Is there a phone number that our place that people can follow you or online or?
We have Clinton County Democrats online, and it's Clinton County, Indiana. There's lots of states that have a Clinton County. You want to be sure you get Clinton County, Indiana,
there's
and you see a little donkey logo on our page.
Okay, so Clinton County Democrats.
So we have that on Facebook, and we actually have two of them, and both of them have donkeys on the picture for the profile. We have two Facebook pages.
All right, two Facebook
pages. There's a whole story to that, but we have followers on each one, and I don't want to delete anyone. So
right. All right, so we've got follow you on Clinton County Democrats. Make sure it's Clinton County, Indiana Democrats on Facebook. There's two pages there. Make sure you check out. Make sure there's a donkey there, and then the 4 to 7 this Saturday. And if you want to register to vote or find more about voting, IndianaVoters.gov. IndianaVoters.gov. Well, Beth, thank you very much. It looks like I think you're going to have a good weather day. I think Saturday's looking shaping up pretty good, so it should be good.
Yes.
All right. Well, hey, well, thank
Looking
you. Thank you so much, Beth. You have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You
All
too,
right.
Shan.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. Beth Hardebeck with the Clinton County Democratic Party. She is the chair of the Clinton County Democratic Party, and they've got the big fundraiser coming up this Saturday, September 12th, in Mulberry at the Pavilion. So if you get a chance, it's all free. No need for tickets or anything. It's all free. As you heard Beth said, everybody's welcome. So make sure that... you get out there and find out what's going on and meet the new candidates. Speaking of meeting, want to meet, we'll have to meet, Stephen, but Stephen is meeting with you today. Stephen Deckard is the Clinton County EMS Director. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm well, yourself?
I'll try to get the monitor out of the way a little bit so I can see your smiling face. So, hey, it is, like I said, Beth, it's the middle of September. Year's kind of, you're a young man. Time doesn't maybe march on like for us old guys, but it's been a quick year, I think.
Yeah. With three little ones, my time is, just flying by, right?
Let me just give you some wisdom, and you've probably heard it many times. It does go quickly, so
it's crazy.
Take advantage of every minute you get.
Yes, absolutely. Well, they say the days are long, but the years are short.
Very true. I think Vern Casper used to have an old German, and Russ can probably correct me, but it's an old German. I'm going to paraphrase it, but how did I get so wise so quickly? Something like that, you know. And it's very challenging to be a young parent raising three children. totally get that, understand that, but yet to also have the kind of job that you do. It's a very demanding job. How do you balance that? Have you got the secret formula? Maybe other people can know.
Yeah, no, still working on it. Mm-hmm. My immediate thought was my wife would tell you I don't have balance.
Yeah, well, most wives would probably say that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my day yesterday was hugging the kids as I walked out the door around 6, and then, you know, getting home real late and happened to catch a middle of the night wake up from our middle, and so I got another hug at 11:30, so that was nice. But there is no balance. It's just 'tis the season of life.
It is the season of life. Really kind of want to get into some of the things that's going on in the department. But before I do that, you know, tomorrow's 9/11. You know, how old were you 25 years ago?
Oh shoot. I was young.
Were you not born?
No, I was. Yeah, okay. No.
I got to thinking, you're kind of young. Maybe you're not even been born yet. So.
No, you know, I'll pass on answering, but yeah. I was born, yes. I don't have as strong of a memory as, you know, the older generations.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so, but it's, you know, the honoring of all that happening tomorrow, but you as an EMS director, as a first responder, when you see all these memorials, and maybe you don't remember it, but you see and read, it's got to do. You got to give you a little bit of a lump in the sense of knowing that first responders were going in the flames, probably just hugged their kids that morning,
absolutely,
or just you know, kissed their wife or husband or whatever the case may be, and didn't come back.
I have a concept. That I have kind of come to appreciate, and you know, I'm sure there's somebody much wiser that created it before me, but I call it the brutality of chance, and that we live every single second on the chance of death.
Oh yeah.
And whether it's, you know, an R on T phenomenon that's going to send you into ventricular fibrillation, or it's a wrong way driver, it's just the brutality of chance. And 9/11 was, you know, you hear about the people who missed the bus, missed the train, or they, you know, stayed home sick that day, and they lived, and those that went into the office died, right? And it's just the brutality of chance. Even though, you know, us members, first responders here in Indiana weren't directly impacted that day, we still bear the weight of the sacrifice, and, you know, I like to do the stairs for the memorial, and several years ago, I was over at a Purdue University at Ross-Ade Stadium, and right outside the stadium, they've got a great staircase that's good for doing those stairs. And for me, you know, I just put the headphones on and I listen to the air traffic controllers and the 911 calls because I want to submerge myself in that moment and pay my respect. And you've got the younger generations that come out and they're doing a photo shoot in memory. And it's just a absolute difference of mentality and respect for the sacrifice that was bared that day. And you're absolutely right. You know, there were firefighters, police officers, paramedics. They kissed their wives, hugged their kids, and walked out the door for the last time. Yeah. And that's just the brutality of chance.
Well, we appreciate what you do, and we thank you for, you know, willing. I always say this. I talk to all my veteran buddies and when I'm always my brother and our son's a veteran, I always thank them because I didn't do anything. But you took an oath and you were willing to. And so those that come home, those that do make it home, we're thankful for that. But there's always, like you said, it's that you never know that next moment, that next second. You never know when you're going to be called. And I think when I look back on 9/11 and see the craziness of the day and just the dramatic emotional impact that it had on a nation and on so many individuals, to know that how that happened and what happened, but we can't even comprehend what it meant to those first responders and those people that did lose those 3,000 folks plus that lost their lives, or almost 3,000 folks that lost their lives that day. And we don't even know, again, how many people lost their lives afterwards based upon all the junk and debris. Absolutely. And all of the stuff that took place. So, hey, let's pray we don't ever have anything like that again. I mean, we always have the threat of it. You guys always have to be prepared because, like you said, it may not be a terrorist attack. It could be a head-on collision, and yep. you've got to deal with that. And you've got to also so part of my question was you guys continue to do some incredible things with EMT paramedic education. You know, what are some things that you guys are to train your paramedics on that emotional side and dealing mm-hmm. with the aftermath of something, a horrendous accident or mm-hmm. shooting or something? How do you help your folks manage all that?
Yeah, I think there's been a major push throughout the industry to, you know, we always say reduce the stigma associated with it. You know, the number one cause of death for first responders is suicide.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah,
and suicide. So when you're looking at cardiovascular risk, diabetes, stroke, any infection, and suicide is topping all that by a significant
crazy.
Amount, we have to reduce that stigma, and we have to be very proactive in what we're doing. And so, you know, for what we do in our shop is we work with a psychologist group that specializes in first responder mental health.
Okay.
And so our crews know that they always have access. We just had this where somebody called and said, hey, I need that contact info, and, you know, no questions asked. What do you need from us? We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
We'll give you the time you need. We don't want to compound trauma. Let's make sure your brain's right before you come back on shift.
Yeah.
And so I think we've done a really good job of creating that supportive culture over the last several years. Additionally, you know, we'll do critical incident debriefs and, you know, just give people the space that they need to decompress. But, it's a tricky balance.
Mm-hmm. Can't imagine. I've been in ministry for 44 years and have been at bedsides and at accidents, and I've had to be one sometimes knocking on the door. It is it's a gut punch, but mm-hmm. I can't imagine being there trying to save somebody physically, can't save them, and understand you have to go back and kind of live with that.
Yeah, you know, I think that's what's unique about pre-hospital emergency medicine versus in-hospital yeah. emergency medicine, is when you're in an emergency department, you're under your white fluorescent lights in your environment, and we are going and working a cardiac arrest in somebody's living room. We're looking up at their family picture on the wall.
Yeah.
And, you
and
know,
maybe a family member in the hall.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've actually shifted gears a lot in recent years, too, to try to include family members in that resuscitation process so they can see what is being done and they have that opportunity to hold their hand or speak to them in those last moments.
I appreciate you bringing that up because I think that is – so how is that – in your mind, is that philosophy good or is that something that is working? Because
it's very important.
I think it would probably be very therapeutic.
Absolutely. And that's what the research shows, that is very therapeutic. And, you know, we don't force anybody. If they don't want to, right. they don't want to, right? But we always try to offer that opportunity instead of, you know, 20 years ago, the practice was
get out
of our way.
Yeah.
You know, this is our space. Now we're taking over. Now it's how can we integrate them into
right.
the practice? So, very therapeutic.
And there might be some information that you need to know right then and there that maybe a family member can tell you.
Absolutely.
And help you with. But, I think the key word is compassion.
Yeah,
yes. Having compassion, because it's not even about empathy as much as it is just compassion that, hey, look, I care about you. I don't necessarily know what you're going through right now. I just have seen it 100 times. I've not dealt with it, but I care enough that I want to make sure that you are included.
Yes.
And that you're a part of this. So what are some of the other class? I mean, we've talked about the kind of the emotional, the mental side, and the traumatic side. What are some other things that you guys are doing, maybe technically, in some of your training that to let the good folks of Clinton County know?
So right now we've got a EMT class that just started last month at the end of August, and we've got our paramedic program. They're in their last semester right now
Capstone. I just met a young lady. We prayed with her the other day. She's having her test today, I think. I think there's a test today. She's going through EMT class.
Okay.
She got a test today. And she's this brand new career. Never thought she'd ever do this. And now she's doing it. So she's very excited. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah. So, I mean, so it's never too late.
Well,
maybe there are age limits and things. But this is an opportunity to change a career, and you guys are offering all that training, and you're making it happen for them.
We are, yeah. You know, I'll skip ahead a little bit. I see your workforce needs question, but you know, that's, we talked about this pretty heavy yesterday at the budget hearings. Is, you know, there was a EMS workforce assessment study done by IU Health, and what they found was Clinton County really needed to increase the availability of EMS professionals. Yeah. And so through these training programs, the EMT class and paramedic education, we're really filling that gap for the community.
Yeah, it opens up another door.
Yeah.
That maybe someone just doesn't want to be in on a manufacturing floor or whatever, but they certainly could help in a community and help in a situation that is much needed. Do you struggle getting people? Is that a, I mean, like almost any other industry? I mean,
everywhere.
We have a 3.8 unemployment rate. That's one of the actually it's been the lowest in the state for almost a year now in Clinton County. One of the lowest in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's a challenge, believe me, from an economic development side, because it's very hard to attract when you have that unemployment rate that low. Because what is the available worker? Do you have the same issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's unique about EMS as an entire industry is, you know, you're looking at anywhere from a 20 to the high end of 30% turnover rate year over year.
Wow.
And so the gold standard for accreditation of ambulance services in the country is CAS. And they looked at, you know, very large EMS agencies that are accredited and recognized as this gold standard, and they were all struggling with about a 20% turnover. And so they're saying within 4 to 5 years, your entire workforce could be new people.
Wow.
Which is wild. So, yeah, it's tough. I know the average career expectancy of a paramedic right now is 4 years.
Wow. That is that is tough. That's worse than an NFL player.
It's pretty atrocious.
I think the NFL player is like 4.5 years.
Okay.
So it's worse than a, and they're making millions of dollars.
Yep, we are not.
Thousands of dollars. It's a lot of times it's a thankless. I don't think people intend to be thankless. It's just, you know, you do your job and you get out. It's a kind of the unsung hero. You just want to make sure the job is done, and then you move on because you got another call, you know, the next call.
Yep.
And that can be a challenge. It's tough. I think I appreciate the psychology of that you're talking about with counselors and all, bringing that in, because, you know, some people need to hear that affirmation, and they need to hear that, hey, you're doing a good job, you know, keep it up. But you don't always get that in your world, because a lot of times you're being scrutinized.
Yeah.
And before you can even leave the scene, you're like, well, you know, and you're constantly debriefing, correct?
Yeah.
You're looking over things that what could you have done better?
Yes. We're always analyzing and seeing, you know, what quality improvement metrics can we change, and how can we do better? How can we align with the current practices of medicine and the best current practice?
What are a couple things that you, if you had your, you know, your wish, if you had the, you know, the billion-dollar budget or whatever, what would be a couple of things you'd like to see happen in Clinton County?
Ooh.
Maybe the top two.
I mean, I would say an endless budget for truck repairs or truck replacements. That would be it. But honestly, I think, you know, we're in a really good place right now. We've got really good equipment, cardiac monitors, IV pumps, mechanical ventilators. We're in a really good place right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was doing all sorts of research, you know, just in preparation for budget season. And what I found was really, really interesting is when you look at CMS data and they analyze 7,300 ground ambulance providers, we are well below the median and the mean for a ambulance service of our size, a government-run ambulance service. We are well below the median and the mean. So personnel, they said, you know, just ambulance personnel alone, the median budget was about $3.4 million. And then when you add in admin, it's about $4.3 for the average, or for the median, the midpoint.
Yeah.
For us, though, our overall budget going into 2027 is $4.3 million. So, you know, they still have to, those EMS agencies are still having a budget for the new trucks, the new monitors, everything like that.
Right.
So I'm really pleased to see that report and be able to compare ourselves and just know what we have and what we've accomplished with, you know, a lesser total amount. But we're really well off.
How many calls do you guys make? Do you have that information? I mean, I know Renee probably does, Renee Crick, but you guys, how many calls do you make?
If you include ambulance 15, 120, 13, and 6 are our volunteer ambulances. We're around 4,300 a year. Our primary ambulance
4.3 million, 4,300. We could probably break that
yeah, per it's run. Decent math. Yeah. But if you look at just our paid department and our paid responders, we're just under 4,000 a year right now.
Okay.
And this is actually the first year since 2018 that I've seen. We're actually down 160 calls year to date than we were last year. Every other year, it's been an increase. So kind of shocked to see that data.
Is the calls that you receive mostly, are they in-home situations or heart attack situations? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Falling or things like that? Because we do have a growing elderly population.
We do, definitely an aging population. So any chronic disease, exacerbation, COPD, asthma, diabetes, heart attacks, strokes, all of that. That's our primary stuff.
But, you know, I will say this, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen. I do believe we have seen a significant decline in narcotic type of EMS calls. I think our recovery community has really stepped up, I think. Now, that's just my opinion. From what I can see, because I'm telling you, being at my vantage point on Main Street and Washington Street, it was almost weekly that right even right there at that corner, there would be at the gazebo or whatever, a call of someone either overdosing or signs of potential overdose.
Yeah, so your intuition's spot on. Our data shows that substance use disorder calls have decreased dramatically for Clinton County. So,
fantastic.
I mean, huge shout out to Laura Archibald and her team, 180 Recovery.
Brianna's Hope.
Yeah, seriously, we have so many great stakeholders for addressing substance use disorder.
Every Saturday morning at the Iron Block, we have, you know, 20, 30, 40 people that meet up there, to just keeping themselves accountable.
Yeah,
you know?
It's fantastic. Yeah. And our numbers are way down for opiate use disorder in particular. And, our medical director and I, we met 2 months ago just to discuss possibly adding a medication that would be, you know, specific for helping with recovery for opioid use. And when we pulled our numbers, we said we would give it once a year, or we can wait for the emergency department to utilize it. So Nate, our medical director, we were both really, really pleased to dive into the data and see what a great result.
I tell you, that's something that this county should be applauding and thanking God for. I mean, that's a huge thing.
Yes.
I mean, I know rural communities that are dying in Indiana because of substance abuse, and we were. I think we were. I'm not saying that we're over the hump by any stretch. We still have our issues, but you know, I applaud the EMS, I applaud the police department, I applaud the fire department, because I think you've all working along with folks like Laura and Healthy Communities and all the other organizations you just mentioned, put a word, and we mentioned earlier, a very key word of compassion, that you care about what's going on and you want to get the folks some help and you're trying to get them to the next breath so that they can recover.
Yeah.
And I greatly appreciate that attitude. So
I think that's, you know, one of the good things that we can bring to our education program is, again, reducing that stigma surrounding it. And, you know, I'll get on a soapbox here. When you look at addiction as a whole, many of us struggle with some form of addiction.
We're all addicted to something.
I'm addicted to caffeine, right?
I'm addicted to sugar, so.
Yep. Yeah. That's, you know, one of the major addictions is sugar.
Yeah, it is.
Or chewing tobacco, alcohol. When we get this really negative stigma associated with addiction and opiates or other controlled substances, and it's really for what I want to emphasize is it's the propensity of causing death or adverse events that we see a lot more in that population versus the general population who is struggling silently with addiction.
Yeah.
Whether it's a gambling addiction, how many of us are going daily to do scratch-offs, right? And it's, right. we're getting that dopamine hit, right. that instant feedback, where we're addicted to this.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, I think it's absolutely paramount that we recognize addiction is a disease process and just what the substance of addiction is that's fulfilling that need.
Yeah.
Just varies person to person. And so yeah. we have to approach each situation with respect, empathy, compassion. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. It's after 9. We got our next guest, and I apologize for keeping you over. But, Stephen, it's always a pleasure. You're very articulate. I appreciate your knowledge and what you guys are doing every day. Believe me, we don't want to call 9/11. But as we get ready to honor everyone from the 25 years ago tomorrow, for 9/11. We're glad you're there. So thank you for
thank
what you do. Appreciate you. All right.
Thank you.
Stephen Deckard, our EMS director, Clinton County EMS director. If you see him out on the street, give him a pat on the back. He does a great job. So thank you, Stephen. Appreciate it. All right. We're going to take a quick break. I'm the Clinton County guy, I guess. I need to talk to Ms. Smith. We're not talking to Mr. Smith. We're talking to Ms. Smith. Callan Smith, executive director of Carroll County Chamber of Commerce, coming up here on Party Line.